This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Tuesday. Man, we have a jam-packed show in a lot of different directions. I love shows like today. Peter King with us at 10:20. We'll talk with Peter via Skype from his house in New York City about the Cardinals and Adrian Peterson. Also, Brett Hundley, and what does he see out of the former Chandler High star now at Green Bay? Peter King will be with us. Brian Lewerke is going to come on board today. Have you been watching Michigan State? Brian Lewerke killed it at Pinnacle. Now Spencer Rattler is doing the same. Brian Lewerke said, I'm out of here. He goes to Michigan State, and he's playing terrific football. They're 5-1 on the season. He's getting it done. Getting it done in the classroom, too. Brian's going to Skype in with us from East Lansing. So we'll talk Michigan State Big Ten football with Brian Lewerke, former Pinnacle Pioneer. And then while Michael Fabiano, all things around fantasy football, you still have time to get your fantasy football questions in at Brad Sessmatt on Twitter or at Sports360. Last night I watched the baseball game, the Yankees and Astros. It was just every night. I'm gripped. But Eric, are you gripped? I know you're not baseball front and center with the Diamondbacks, but you can't possibly have sat through Tennessee and Indianapolis.
No, I didn't even really watch any
sports
last night. I had dinner with a friend, and I saw the highlights on SportsCenter, but no, I did not sit through Tennessee and Indianapolis.
I'm kind of done with John Sterling's voice of the Yankees. You and I have heard John do his calls for the year. Everything is about all rise, and everything whenever Aaron Judge hits a home run has got to be all rise. And I get that it's the voice of the Yankees.
And that's his shtick. He's been doing that for decades.
The Yankees win. The Yankees win. All rise. Mr. Judge. Here comes the judge. Okay, the judges are in the stands and all that stuff. But and I get it. It's New York City. If there was a judge playing for the Astros, there was a judge playing for the Diamondbacks, it wouldn't be like this.
No.
But because it's...
But that fits. I mean, it's the Yankees. It's the New York market. It's the glitz. It's the glamour.
Yes. And there is something about him. The catch that he made last night in the fourth inning when he crashed into the wall.
Yep.
He is one of those few players in baseball. Like, I'm a pitcher guy. If I've got a big game pitcher, like if Verlander is on the mound, I want to watch. If Strasburg's on the mound, if Kershaw's on the mound, I want to watch. I'll sit and watch a Goldschmidt at bat. I'll watch a JD Martinez at bat. I'll watch a Judge at bat. I don't really care to see them in the field, but then when he makes a play like he did last night.
I kind of disagree with you. I love seeing guys like Giancarlo Stanton and Judge when they're
in
up.
The field?
No. At bat. I mean, it's almost must see TV. Like, the game on at the house and we'll be doing stuff. And then, you know, if I hear that so and so is on deck, they'll keep my attention through the at bat.
Maybe you misunderstood me. Maybe I didn't say it right.
I'll do the same. I think I didn't misunderstand you.
Yeah, I'll do the same as you.
Just not in the field.
Not in the field. I don't need to see, like, Goldschmidt at first base is really good.
Underrated.
Yeah, I mean, he's Gold Glove there. But there's times where I get mad that he's sitting there chatting up somebody on the other team and they're laughing and cackling. That's old school of me. That's the get off my lawn.
It is pretty old school of you.
Side of me.
# baseball purist.
Is the Pac-12 dead this year to get in the playoff? As we're sitting here in mid...
No.
So where do you see it?
It's too early for me to predict, but I do know one thing. There are going to be teams with one or two losses that may make the playoffs this year.
We've never had a two-loss team,
only team I see really running the table is Alabama.
It's Alabama.
Every other team in the country is flawed. And even the undefeated teams, I don't think when it's all said and done, because of the parity in a lot of these conferences, I just can't, you know, Washington losing at Arizona State, now they have to become big Arizona State fans. Like, hey, ASU,
right.
Why don't you win eight or nine games? That will help us.
Sure.
Well, Oklahoma's saying, please make a bowl, Iowa State. That would really, really help us. And Ohio State, please keep winning all of your games. Oklahoma.
You're
exactly.
Right. No, you're right. Because I'm looking across the board here. And so this week, USC plays Notre Dame.
Big game.
If USC loses this, okay, give me another school. Is it Stanford? Because Stanford lost early to USC. If you're going to lose, we know the old adage there, lose early. Stanford still has Washington, And I believe they still have Washington State.
But again, I don't look at this Stanford team like I have Stanford teams of the past. This is a good team. They have arguably
they have Heisman Trophy running
back.
They have
arguably the best running back in the country. But this is not the same Stanford of a couple years ago.
No, I agree with that. But what you know about Stanford is that they're usually slow starters, and then they try to figure it out, and they slowly do figure it out. They punished Arizona State a couple of weeks ago, just kicked them all over the field. That was not a contest, and it showed that they were getting better and better. I think Stanford is probably the only team left. Because I'm looking at USC, Eric. I don't see – you and I talked about this yesterday a little bit. I don't see a whole lot there as USC teams in the past. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if they came here and Arizona State beat them. That would not surprise me. It would not surprise me if U of A beat them. It wouldn't surprise me.
They're a good team. They're not close to being an elite team. And only elite teams – are going to get into the one of those four playoff spots.
Because like Utah, this week Arizona State plays up at Utah. Utah loses on a gut-wrenching fashion last week to USC. Utah's not a national power this year in terms of a Final Four team. So if I go up and down the Pac-12 conference, does Washington's non-conference was so bad.
Again.
So bad. And then the way they lost the other night, I mean, just two easy missed field goals and a holding penalty. That's not a team that looks like a national champion. And I think because of what Chris Peterson has said, you can't convince me that ESPN's executives, when they get in a room with the CFP, that they're not going to put a little bit of pressure on them.
Of course. I totally agree. I mean, I think when you talk about the Pac-12, Brad, you could say the word parity, but it's not used in a good way this year with the Pac-12.
Okay, so Washington State's out because of what happened against
Cal. There's no doubt. And it's, you know, and when it's all said and done, who's going to make the Final Four? Either a team from a Power 5 conference that runs the table or four blue blood programs.
That's why it's the big brands.
No, of course. That's why Ohio State, I mean, they lost early, and they're probably not going to lose again. They would really like to have Oklahoma lose another game.
Again, Clemson losing on a Friday night at Syracuse, not many people are going to watch that.
It's still not a good look, though. I mean, when you're matching up resumes – it's the one lost team who – so say TCU loses at Oklahoma but wins the Big 12 championship and their only loss is a close loss at Oklahoma. When you pair that with these other teams like Washington losing at ASU and say Washington State runs the table but they got drilled by Cal on a Friday night and then you have Clemson, that's when it's just down to compare and contrast.
Okay, so here's a scenario that I could see happening. USC runs the table. USC meets Stanford in the Pac-12 title game. Beat Stanford. Stanford runs the table up to that point. USC could be in.
No doubt.
And that's probably the only scenario, right?
I would think so.
Unless it's Stanford.
Because USC's non-conference schedule is so much better than Washington's.
Western Michigan, people laugh at Western Michigan. Western Michigan,
it's a good, yeah,
to start out with.
Of course. Yeah, they're a group of five power. I mean, they played in a New Year's Six game last year, so.
Yeah, I'm sitting here in mid October, looking around the landscape, and I think we have two really interesting stories going on here in state. We have an interesting story with Khalil Tate, the quarterback at the U of A. He has been spectacular. He's just been amazing. He is a lot of fun to watch. The last 2 weeks against teams that aren't very good against the run. That's the only knock on him. I am a Heisman voter, so I have to look at this stuff. I have to remind some of you that, like, why are you giving so much attention to this guy? Because I have to vote on this, and I want to make sure that it's educated. He's done it against Colorado and UCLA, two run defenses that aren't very good. But nonetheless, the numbers do not lie. Is he one of 10? No, probably not. But if he keeps doing what he's doing each week, you have to look at, like, this week, unfortunately for him, this week the game is on Pac-12 Network, which means very, very few people are going to see him. It's also in the middle of the day, I do believe. Their game is at Cal. Whatever it is, it's on Pac-12 Network. No one's going to see it. So he's not going to have a chance to, for a third week in a row, do what he's been doing. And we're going to talk about him on the TV show at great length today. I think outside of from the U of A and the job that Rich is doing so far, it's going to be really interesting a month from now if these two teams keep playing the way that they are playing. I think Arizona State, they've gotten better. You can't deny that. As bad as they were at Stanford, and they were awful, they rebounded off that. They are getting comfortable under their coordinators. Yes, that is true. And yeah, you need luck along the way. Washington misses two less than 30-yard field goals. That's luck. Those weren't blocked. That's being lucky with a capital L. And sometimes you have to be lucky through the course of a season. ASU's out of it because of all the losses they've already accumulated early this season. But let's just say, for argument's sake, that Arizona and Arizona State keep having success. I'm not saying they have to win every week, but let's just say the two of them lead up to the game. We've had years where the ASU-U of A game, you know, I get these people that say this is the biggest game of the year, and both teams are horrible, and neither team is ranked. And it doesn't mean anything other than you can just tell your buddies, and that's it. And some people get excited by that. This year's game, if the two continue with their current trajectory, and if Khalil Tate continues to play as well as he has shown the last few weeks, well, we have a lot of season. I get that. We have five more games to go up until that point. We have not heard from either side of front offices at U of A or ASU that quit asking us about, this is our coach, this is how it's going to be, they're going to be here forever. You know, we haven't heard any of that. So the season can still go a lot of ways. But I believe, as we sit here in mid-October, that this year's game of Arizona and Arizona State is going to mean a lot more than it has in years past. I've been one that has said Arizona and Arizona State should be playing each other earlier in the season. And I get crushed by that from the people that have been here forever because it's, well, we've always done this. Well, it doesn't mean it's right. I don't know. Did you see how Michigan and Michigan State played out the other night? I get it. It's not Michigan, Ohio State, but it's still two in-state schools. Imagine if Arizona and Arizona State were playing this week rather than U of A at Cal and ASU at Utah. It would be off the hook. It would be. It would be great. You don't have to always do just because it's always been done a certain way. But I'm starting to get a feeling that this U of A-ASU game is going to have a lot more than in years past. And it may come down to both coaches being on the line for their jobs. It may come down to both coaches are in line to go to big bowl games. It may be in line. I hope it doesn't come down to, well, the winner is going to go to the Sun Bowl. The winner is going to go to the Vegas Bowl. Another third-tier bowl. They're going to go to, what's the one in New Mexico, Eric? What's the, what do they call that one now?
The New Mexico? The Gildan New Mexico Bowl, I believe.
Yeah, the Gildan New Mexican Bowl.
New Mexico Bowl, not the New Mexican Bowl. That would be interesting. U of A's frequented that in the past.
The Independence Bowl.
Yep.
I don't want to hear about third and fourth-tier bowls. That means it wasn't a great season no matter how you try to spin it. Peter King is next. We'll talk with Peter about the Cardinals and Adrian Peterson, things around the National Football League. And then Brian Lewerke from Michigan State, star quarterback, the Spartans playing really well, ranked. And, of course, Brian from Pinnacle to MSU, that's on the other side. And then Michael Fabiano, sports360az.com. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time now to turn our attention to all things around the National Football League with Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback, MMQB.com. You can follow Peter on Twitter. You can check out all of his platforms, all of the content around the NFL, and just football in general. He's doing a lot on the high school front now. It's with State Farm, right, Peter? You've worked this new deal out?
Yeah, we're doing a series of stories on football across America, and we're in the Phoenix area. Hey, and Brad, we went to Baghdad.
Did you?
We followed your little trail of breadcrumbs to Baghdad.
There you go.
And we had two reporters out there and a video fellow, and they had a great, great time. And they met your great quarterback out there. And it was really, really interesting. They had a good time. It's a mining town, and. So your guy, your quarterback, had 11 touchdowns Friday night, five passing, six running. So he sort of dominates that level of football.
It's the beauty of the sport. All right, let's go from the high school end over on the pro and college end with Peter King. The Cardinals, were you surprised by what you saw, Peter, out of Adrian Peterson on Sunday?
I was surprised, Brad, because, you know, he gave me the impression he gave me the impression when he was playing in New Orleans that he really didn't have that burst or the ability to break through the line like he had in Minnesota, obviously. And there were three or four instances in this game. You know, I saw the little mashup of all his runs together. And there were three or four instances in this game where he was able to break through the line and break through tackles. And it turns out Bruce Arians and Steve Keim were right, at least for now. I talked to him Sunday night and I said, what was the difference between you of earlier this year and you now? And he had a really, really good explanation. And he said, look, remember the first run I had this year? You know, when we're at Minnesota, New Orleans is at Minnesota. It's the first run of the year, and he runs for 9 yards. And he goes, you know, one play later, I'm out of the game. And he said, here, the difference is, you know, I run it for 9. It was actually 8. I run it for 9, and I stay in the game. And he kept running on that drive. They kept feeding him on that drive. I think Bruce Arians was determined to say to everybody on his team, everybody on the Bucks, and to Adrian Peterson, look, you know, you're going to have to play your way out of this job. And, you know, so he gave him every opportunity, and Adrian Peterson really paid his faith back in what he did in this game.
I know we talked last week, Peter, because the news was breaking as you and I were talking last week about whether or not this would make an impact in the locker room. And I kind of got the sense from you, you weren't really too into that, not that sure. I don't know if it did on the field. It sure looked like it did. But in the building and just here in the community, this is one of those communities where it's not Philadelphia. We get it. It's not the Giants. We get it. This is a place where they do turn their attention away in a hurry. But all of a sudden, the bandwagon is real full again out here. And driving into work, 1 week, it's you have to dodge broken legs and ankles on the 101. And the following week, everybody's back on board. Adrian Peterson has been a lightning rod out here just in 1 week's time. Does that surprise you out here, Peter?
Well, I think the difference right now when you look at this team and look at where they are.
Yeah.
You know, you're always judging a team in the first 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season. You're always judging them based on what you see most recently. And this is a different team when you've got a running back that you can give the ball to 25, 26 times, and the guy can produce the way Adrian Peterson did. Without David Johnson, they haven't had that in the last 5 weeks. So that's the thing that impressed me about what exactly happened in this game, that – you know, they didn't lean on the old David Johnson excuse anymore.
Right.
And look, what is going to happen now? I can't tell you. You know, you fly 6,000 miles to play an NFC West road game at the Rams, and you're playing in, you know, 9 time zones away. And I mean, I think this, as strange as it sounds, this might be the biggest game of the year for the Cardinals. Because, you know, if you lose to the Rams at a neutral site, and, you know, if you basically now enter after the bye your second half of the season with a real uphill fight, and I look at their second half of the season and I say, you know, I know they've got that 3-game homestand, but they also have, in my opinion, 3 road games where they will likely be significant underdogs. Okay. And that's what I mean by that is the games at Houston, at Washington, and at Seattle. So that's why you're kind of blessed to be able to play the Rams on a neutral field. And in my opinion, this is as must win as they're going to get this year if they want to get back in the playoff hunt.
Talking with Peter King, the Monday Morning Quarterback. Great content that you can check out, mmqb.com. It's great to have Peter with us every week. Turning over then, and this follows on the Cardinals and big picture, Aaron Rodgers goes down. Peter, you look at the NFC just in total. Outside of Philadelphia, I don't see a team, and Pete Carroll's squad, every year we see it. They're not very good early, and then by the end of the year, they've got it figured out, and they're rolling. But it seems to me that the NFC, now that Rodgers has gone down and other injuries and attrition and teams not playing well, it's pretty wide open. I know you could say that about the entire NFL, but especially about the NFC this year.
I don't see how anybody can look at the NFC. I wrote about this on Monday that I don't see how anybody looks at the NFC and can make anything out of it after 6 weeks. You know, if I had to pick a team right now, obviously I'd pick Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
They're the best. They had a narrow loss at Kansas City. Other than that, they won them all. And so I think they have a chance to be the best team in the NFC. But there is no best team in the NFC after Philadelphia. And I'm not even sure that Philadelphia can stand the test of time. One thing I'd say about Philly, though, they do not play a road game now until Thanksgiving week.
Wow.
Which, think about that. That's, yeah. I mean, you know, they've got three straight home games in their bye. So for the next 4 weeks, they never leave their facility. So I'm looking at the Eagles and I'm saying, you know, so they're not going to relinquish, I don't think, their top spot for a while. But still, I think even internally, they still have to convince themselves that they're the best team.
Let's follow up on Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers going down. Brett Hundley is a local player out here at Chandler High School and on to UCLA. He struggled mightily, obviously, in his first showing for the Packers and coming in for Rodgers. What do you make out of Brett Hundley and his opportunity there? Do you think the Kaepernick, Romos, all those things? I know that they've come out and said, no, this is our guy. This is the direction we're going to go. But what is your view of Brett Hundley, Peter?
You know, I wasn't very impressed with him in his first game. I watched a lot of that game on Sunday. You know, but Mike McCarthy has made it clear, Brad, now that Brett Hundley is their guy. They're not going out in the market to look for a Colin Kaepernick type or to look for anybody. So it's going to be Brett Hundley, sink or swim. Now, I also think it's a pretty tough challenge for a quarterback who's never started a game in the NFL to come into a rivalry game on the road with all the pressure in the world on you. So, I mean, I'd like to see him when he's got some time to work at his craft a bit. I mean, they're fortunate. They play a relatively speaking, a mediocre defense in New Orleans this weekend at home, and then they've got the bye. So between now and the time they get into the real tough part of their schedule, Brett Hundley's got 19 days to adjust. And even if they were to lose to New Orleans, they have three games that I'm assuming they're going to be favored in, you know, Detroit and Baltimore at home and then at Chicago coming out of their bye. So I look at him and he's got a good opportunity to succeed. I had Bob McGinn, the longtime well-respected Wisconsin journalist who's covered the Packers for 38 years.
Yeah.
I had him on my podcast, which we're going to drop tomorrow. And I recorded it last night, and he gave me a scouting report on Hundley. He's very bullish on Hundley, and he thinks he's going to do well. He told me, and I think I'm not paraphrasing, that I think the Packers are going to win a lot of games with Brett Hundley starting. So, you know, time will tell. We'll see. But I think, you know, what I'm a little bit skittish about after watching him, and again, it's unfair. It's only one game. And he entered it, you know, not even having warmed up. So he wasn't as accurate as you need to be in that Mike McCarthy offense. So, you know, hopefully for the Packers and hopefully for him, he plays a good game against New Orleans, goes into their bye with some confidence.
Stay well, Peter. Appreciate the time and insight as always. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, Brad.
There's Peter King, the Monday morning quarterback via Skype, joining us from New York City. Always good to catch up with Peter King. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. By the way, if you miss any part of this show or Peter, we put up parts of Peter up on the website at sports360AZ.com. We have our daily podcast we recycle back from the show every day. If you're watching us on AZ Central, the show repeats on AZ Central all day and all night as well, 24 hours. So plenty of ways for you to get back in if you miss any part of that. That was really good stuff. On all fronts today with Peter. Sports360AZ.com, back after this timeout. One of the cool things about doing this show every day and every week is when you see a player on the high school level absolutely crush it, which our next guest did at Pinnacle High, and then you see this player go on to college, and he's probably going to go on and play beyond that. I don't like throwing pressure on high school or college kids, but Brian Lewerke, when he was at Pinnacle with the Pioneers, he got it done. And then he raised some eyebrows by saying, I'm leaving. I'm going to East Lansing. I'm going to play for Michigan State. And now I see Brian Lewerke getting it done over Michigan, making big plays. The Spartans are ranked. They're having a great season. They're 5-1, 3-0. And we said, let's get Brian on the show. So he Skypes on in, Michigan State quarterback Brian Lewerke with Brad Sussmat. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Is this all worked out as you thought it would when you decided to leave Arizona?
Oh, yeah. I mean, when I left, I knew that I was coming behind a great quarterback in Connor Cook, so I'd have to wait my turn a little bit and just learn from him. So, obviously, I tried to learn as much as I could before he went on to the NFL. Yeah.
So let's back up before we get to where you are today. At Pinnacle, when did you know that, okay, I can play beyond high school and to college? When was it with the Pioneers that you figured it out?
Just kind of when I started getting letters from coaches. I knew that I wanted to play college football ever since I was a young kid, so that was always a dream of mine. And once I started receiving all the letters from, you know, all those schools, and I started taking visits, that was kind of when I, you know, realized that, hey, I can actually do this.
Junior year, senior year, sophomore year, when did they start showing an interest in you, Brian?
I think freshman year. Freshman and sophomore year started getting letters, and then started talking to your junior year. So I'd say, I mean, it started pretty early on.
And from Pinnacle, what made you decide on East Lansing?
You know, it is far away. I've always heard that from people. Like, why would you go so far away from home? I think when I was, you know, when I was being recruited, I got a call from them one day, and I had been receiving letters, and I got a scholarship offer, so I decided to come take a visit. And then, when I came up here, I fell in love with it. It was unlike any other school that I went to, very family-oriented environment that I just fell in love with when I came.
What's it like being a quarterback at Michigan State in such a rampant, rabid part of the country for football? It's a very open question, I know, and very basic question, but I don't think people here in Arizona can even really relate to the enthusiasm of college football like it is back there.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in Arizona, I think high school football was pretty big, but, you know, once you get here, college football, especially in East Lansing, is a very, college town. There's not much around it. It's kind of, all you got is the school and then surrounding cities. I know, in like Tempe or something, they have obviously big metropolitan areas that, have other things to do besides football. So, mm-hmm. East Lansing is a very football oriented town. And even in the Midwest, there's a lot of football cities. So it's very fun to be kind of, the main attraction for a college. Mm-hmm.
Are you surprised by your, I'll get to the team, but are you surprised by your individual success so far?
I wouldn't say surprised. It's good to see it come into play, actually, from all the film work and all the practices that I've done. Mm-hmm. It's just great to be able to see my hard work actually pay off and some playing time and, some wins for the team.
It's interesting because Coach D'Antonio had a quote about you that you're not overwhelmed by the environment. And I really liked that thought because when you're playing on the field against Michigan or you're playing practically in any Big Ten environment, it could just be, I'm sure, overwhelming to those of us that have never walked on that field and have 90,000, 100,000 people down on top of you. And it hasn't been that way for you, according to your head coach.
I've kind of... It's kind of been something I take pride in, is not letting the moment get too big for me. Mm-hmm. Just trying to calm my nerves down. Just realize that, hey, this is just the same game that I played back in Arizona. It's the same football game, just like high school, just bigger, taller guys. So just got to focus on – I just try and focus on what I have to do to win a game every time I go out.
This week you have Indiana. If I were to ask you your toughest environment that you've played in so far, would it be playing at Notre Dame? Would it be playing against Michigan? What's been the toughest environment so far for you?
probably the craziest environment I've played in. It has to be the big house, obviously, with 110,000+ people there. It gets very loud. And obviously the weather for that game didn't help us with the torrential downpour, but I think we did a good job of handling it. But I'd say that was probably the coolest environment I played in.
That's great. That's great. So you've watched Pinnacle because you have someone coming behind you and in Spencer Rattler out here. Do you two know each other well?
We do. We talk occasionally. Obviously, it's fun having two Division I level quarterbacks back-to-back at a high school. Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool just to see all the records that he's going to break in mine in high school. Hopefully not, but it probably will.
What's the one record you're like, come on, Spencer, save me at least that one?
I mean, the touchdown records, I mean, I'm sure he's probably going to break him, but he has a lot more time to do it. But mm-hmm. obviously it's cool to have the most touchdowns in school history for quarterback. But he might already have it. I'm not even sure. But we talk a good amount, and he's really fun to be around too.
What can you do that he can't?
I have a little bit of height on him, so yeah. That helps. But I mean, I feel like he's a fantastic quarterback. He makes plays with his feet, makes plays with his arm. He's very smart and very accurate with the ball, I think.
Now he could dunk a basketball. Can you dunk a basketball?
That's something he can do that I cannot.
That's the one thing.
Even though I have the height on him, I still can't dunk, I don't think.
You're having a great season. How is school going? Tell me about the academic side.
It's going good. I'm majoring in economics right now, so that's my main focus. I should be graduating next fall, so that's 3.5 years, and I'm going to try and start my master's degree for my final year just to get that over with.
If football went away tomorrow, and it always can, what would you do with your degree?
I want to try to get into something finance related. I've always liked money and just how it works and how it's made and how the economy works, so that's kind of why I got into the economics portion of that.
Cool. So it sounds like everything's going well for you in East Lansing. It's just you're having fun on the football field. You're doing well in class, and it's terrific to see you from a distance doing so well. And we appreciate the time and the visit.
Yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it.
Brian Lewerke with us via Skype from East Lansing, getting it done there. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. If it's Tuesday, it means we go to the NFL Network. We go to the Hall of Famer. We go to Michael Fabiano. All things fantasy football. Your team just got drilled. Your team got destroyed. We're sitting here in mid-October. There is time for you to figure it out. But if you don't pay attention, if you think you've got it all figured out and your team has lost 5 in a row, then, you know, you're just not going to win your league. And that's why Michael joins us every week. It's fun. It's great. It's always fun to have the Hall of Famer on, and especially when you have so many injuries and suspension and all this stuff. So it's good to see you. What's on your mind today there, Michael?
There's a lot going on, as you mentioned, especially with the Ezekiel Elliott situation. You've got Aaron Rodgers, who's likely to be out for the season, and that's a player who you can't replace off the waiver wire, that's for sure. And a lot of people right now, if you look at the quarterback position and the tight end position, like tight ends sort of already shrunk down. It's really hard to fill at this point. But even quarterback, between the injuries and more QBs have been inconsistent to the point where you're not really sure who you can trust week in and week out. I tell you, even Tom Brady, the last couple of starts that he's had have not been all that stellar. So things are getting tougher and tougher from a fantasy perspective. And, of course, you have all these running back by committee situations that are driving people insane. Now, the one good thing that happened was the rebirth of Adrian Peterson last week, and everybody in Arizona knows that. I didn't like last week's matchup because, well, Peterson, since 2016, had averaged about 2.4 yards per carry. And if you follow the Cardinals, you know that was among the worst rushing offenses in the league. The offensive line struggled to run block. But, boy, it all came together for him. It really did. And it was funny because I tweeted out, between Adrian Peterson and Larry Fitzgerald and Carson Palmer, it's about 103 years of football players. And those guys might have scored more fantasy points than any trio at that combined age in the history of the National Football League.
You've given me a lot there to chew on, and you're right about the three guys out here. So let's circle back on some things. Let's talk about the strategy of Aaron Rodgers. You said something really interesting. You cannot replace him off the waiver wire. So what you're telling me then, and the owners of Aaron Rodgers, is they've got to make a trade, right?
Trading is certainly one option. Even still, you're not going to be able to replace Aaron Rodgers unless you go out and get Tom Brady, and Aaron Rodgers is a better fantasy quarterback. One thing you can do is look to see if Andrew Luck is on your waiver wire, depending on the size of the roster that you have and the number of bench spots you have. If you can grab him and stash him, I can't tell you when he's going to come back. But, I mean, if you have a spot on your roster that you can use to field Luck for a few weeks, it might make sense. This week you're looking at maybe Tyrod Taylor off the waiver wire because he's got a good matchup against the Buccaneers. There's not a lot, though. Again, the quarterback position is starting to shrink. Bethard is a potential streamer this week, and he's never started a game.
Let me throw a name at you. Okay, and I don't know Jameis Winston's situation, but I saw Ryan Fitzpatrick out here, and I saw him put up a boatload of points, and I saw him move his team up and down the field. I haven't looked at buys or any of that stuff, but give me a thought on the quarterback situation in Tampa, because the mailbag is overflowing with what do you do with Jameis, what do you do with Aaron?
I'll tell you something right now. Fitzpatrick, it's funny, no matter where he goes, he has to start. It doesn't matter. Every team he goes to, he'll go as a backup. He's going to start.
It's been
ridiculous. But, I mean, they're going to Buffalo. And Buffalo's coming off a bye, and they have one of the toughest defenses in the entire league. Quarterbacks have done nothing against them. So even if Jameis starts this week for Tampa Bay, I don't like the matchup. And Fitzpatrick, okay, you could go, hey, it's a revenge game. Like half the league is revenge games for Fitzpatrick at this point. I don't trust either one of those Buccaneers quarterbacks against Buffalo. You know, again, you're going to be looking at players like a Tyrod Taylor who could be potentially on the waiver wire in some leagues. There are going to be people out there, because Jacksonville plays Indianapolis this week, who will start Blake Bortles. It's just going to happen. With two teams on a bye, and both of the quarterbacks on those teams are typically fantasy starters, especially Deshaun Watson. But we can go through the quarterbacks here. You know, Derek Carr has been very, very poor over the last three games. He's banged up with the back injury. Cam Newton's been very good. You know, he's a guy you're going to plug into your lineup in Chicago. You can't start Mitchell Trubisky. Cleveland doesn't have a quarterback that you can start. I learned that the hard way last week with Kevin Hogan. You can't start Brett Hundley. And
why not? Why not Brett Hundley? I'm getting a lot of Brett Hundley questions. Not just this week. I'm just not talking this week. I'm talking moving forward.
He is certainly rosterable without question.
All right.
And you would look at the matchup and think, wait a minute, New Orleans' defense, you know, that's a good matchup. It actually hasn't been the last few weeks. Crazy stat, okay? The Saints' defense in their last three games has scored 62 fantasy points. That's more points than all but four teams have had all season long.
Okay.
The defense is starting to make plays, and I would actually suggest that the Saints' defense is a decent streamer against Hundley, because he doesn't have much experience as a starter in the NFL.
That's true. No, that's a good call. Getting a lot of questions about Trevor Siemian, speaking of lack of quarterback depth. Where is Michael out on?
Don't love the matchup this week against the Chargers, who can't stop the run, but they're tough against the pass, and no Emmanuel Sanders. And Simeon's sort of been better at home, and this past week he wasn't even good there, so hard to trust him. And honestly, it's hard to trust Rivers, too. Phillip Rivers, who's up and down all the time. This is kind of what we see from Rivers. And now he's got Denver, and if you look at him career-wise at home, and I understand it's been in San Diego most of the time, but at home career-wise against the Broncos, he's not done well at all.
Okay, I have Ezekiel Elliott on my roster. And you just mentioned him off the top.
Three.
Yeah. So. Okay. And getting the mailbag is overflowing with what do you do with Ezekiel Elliott? And there really is no solid answer. You have to keep him on your roster. You can't just ditch Ezekiel Elliott.
No, you can't.
No,
you absolutely have to keep him on your roster. If you drop him, someone's going to pick him up in 2 seconds. So I've literally called every NFL insider that I can. Yeah. I've talked to players. I don't get the same answer from any two people. Some people would say Darren McFadden's been arrested for the last 6 weeks because the Cowboys were concerned that the Zeke suspension could take hold and they needed to make sure that he was healthy. I've been told that that's that's a ridiculous statement because the Cowboys have activated Alfred Morris every week. He's barely even played, so he hasn't really seen a lot of carries, and they trust Alfred Morris more if they have him on the active roster. I've been told that it's going to be McFadden who starts when Zeke is out. I've been told it's going to be Morris who's going to start if Zeke is out. I've been told there could be a potential committee. I wish I had Jerry Jones' cell phone number for a lot more reasons than just this, but I can't give you a straight answer. If you told me I needed to pick one of them, it's probably going to be McFadden in PPR leagues, and that's typically what we're playing in these days. But no one knows right now. No one knows. And I'm sorry I can't give the fans out there a little bit of clarity, but the bottom line here is either one of these guys available in your league, you got to pick them up. You have to pick them up and see what happens.
Okay, let me zip through a couple more mailbags real quick. I need 2 of 4. I've got Adrian Peterson, Gordon, Gurley, Ingram. It's a pretty good running back field. What do you got there,
Michael? Oh, man. Now that right there is just, you know, that's a humble brag.
Yeah, yeah.
I have Adrian Peterson and Ingram and Gordon and Gurley. Flip a coin. To me, Gordon and Gurley would be the two guys I would likely play. But Mark Ingram was good, and now that Peterson is no longer in New Orleans, I mean, he's a back-end RB1, so That's just an embarrassment of riches. I would try to trade one of those guys.
Okay, last one. LeSean McCoy, Alfred Morris, Ty Montgomery, Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, well, I mean, if Fournette's active, he's got to be on your team, and McCoy would be the second player if you need to start two of those. Another embarrassment of riches there. I wish I could have
that type of
roster at the running back position because a lot of people are hurting right now.
Stay well. Appreciate the time as always. Thanks, Michael.
All right, and by the way,
yeah,
go Yankees.
Oh, get out of here. What are you, nuts? Jeez, oh, man, rooting for Yankees on there. See ya. Jeez. Well, come on. Do we really, Eric, next time, it's just, we're not going to let him even go on the air with this Yankee stuff.
Hopefully by next week, the Yankees will be out.
Because I can crush him then, right? You're okay if we crush him next week?
Sure.
Because he's going to become insufferable. He's that way with the Cowboys. He's insufferable about the Cowboys. And now he's going to start giving me Yankee stuff every week.
But I would like to see Yankees-Dodgers World Series. I think that would be pretty cool.
That would be fun. We'd see the old Reggie Jackson highlights, yeah. Bob Welch and all
definitely.
That. Yeah, all right. That is the show for today. We're going to turn around now and work over on television. And our television show airs tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. It actually airs 16 times here in the next few days on Fox Sports Arizona. Brad Sesmat, Football AZ. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board. Eric produces, Jordan Hamm, Haley Stasiak, the interns. They all did a great job today. Nick Welter, appreciate everybody for their help. And thanks for you joining us to support our sponsors, okay? Without our sponsors, we're not here. We are self-funded, and this is how it works. People sponsor with us. If you want to sponsor with us, let me know. It's pretty simple. And we're here every day doing this on sports360az.com and also the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Have a good day. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.